Hi, it's Haley from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Oak Creek. Come see me today. Haircuts are just $20. Lady Jane's, Oak Creek on Howell Ave, just south of Puth Road. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week, even Sundays. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
Hockey, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office, One Call, That's All Studios at Radio City. This is Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
It's going to be Antonio Brown for the Green Bay Packers as their number one wide receiver. We know it's not Devontae Adams because he got traded. Sammy Watkins, not going to be him. Randall Cobb, no, he'll get some touches, but he'll be in the slot. Your number one receiver is going to be Alan Lazard. And that's a scary thing, I think, for a lot of people. Understandably so, because some of the best things we've said about Alan Lazard on this show have to do with his run blocking, and we're talking about him as a number one wide receiver. However, the ball is going to have to go to somebody, and the ball is going to go to somebody that Alan Lazard trusts, and we know that he trusts Randall Cobb, and so Randy is going to get some touches. But on the Adam Schein podcast, Aaron Rodgers talked about Alan Lazard also having that level of trust. Here's what Aaron Rodgers had to say.
You got to start with the respect for the older guys that we got. And those guys have my trust. And we've played a lot of football together. I'm talking about Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard. And those guys, you know, have done a really nice job, not just on the field, but in the meetings, being my, you know, my liaison to that room and speaking for me on behalf of me as guys who have played with me is so very, very important to be passed on the right message.
That, again, Aaron Rodgers talking about Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb in particular. And Lazard, while not a burner, has great size from wide receiver. And he's somebody that last year he had 40 catches for 513 yards, 8 touchdowns. He only started 13 games last season, saw 60 targets. Devontae Adams got 150, 160 targets. Alan Lazard ain't getting 150, 160 targets, but I would be surprised if he didn't get at least 100 targets this year, which is very, very significant. And with Aaron Rodgers throwing you the ball in a run game that you have to presume is going to take up a certain amount of attention from defense, the chances are that Lazard is going to be able to catch somewhere in that 60, 70, possibly 80 catch range. He's going to end up with 1,000 yards if he stays healthy for 17 games. I'm not even saying because he's going to be a top-end, high, like, number one wide receiver who you could just throw the ball up to like a Julio Jones or a Megatron. But you look at the end of last season, and he was averaging 6 targets. He was averaging 70 yards a game, and he was averaging a touchdown a game. That's pretty good for a guy, and that was with Devontae Adams. So now you fast forward this year, you have to expect Aaron Jones to get a lot of targets. There was an article in the Journal Sentinel today about A.J. Dillon and how his hands have improved throughout his career since he was never expected to catch the ball when he was at BC in college. So those guys are going to get some catches, but you still need to throw the ball to the outside. It's still the NFL. We know Randall Cobb's not going to be playing out there. Sammy Watkins, what did we say, 7-8 games?
Tops.
And then Now you're down to rookies. Now you're down to Romeo Doubs or Juwan Winfrey, who is not a rookie but is basically a rookie based on how much he's actually played meaningful minutes. So tell me I'm crazy, but I see this year as 72 catches, 1,100 yards, and 8 or 9 touchdowns for Alan Lazard, which is unthinkable.
Yeah, well, it's not unthinkable because he's never been that prime target. You don't know what a guy can do until they they are in a position where the volume will increase. And for Alan Lazard, I mean, this is his time, and it's either put up or shut up. It's never, well, I'm the third option, or I'm the fourth guy, or anything like that. You are going to be a primary guy. You are going to be responsible for getting open majority of the time because you know you have a quarterback that's going to get you the rock. My thing is, I think sometime you don't know what a person can do until they're put in that situation. And we're going to find out, is he a number one receiver in the NFL? Or is he a number two or number three receiver at best? And it's just what it is. And I think that having that trust and knowing that your quarterback believes in you, that you will get open and you will catch the ball when I throw it anywhere in your vicinity, I believe that he will have a really good season. I think Alan Lazard will have a 1,000-yard receiving year. And then people will say, oh, my gosh, I never knew this could happen. And then he can sit back and say, well, who knew? I mean, of course you wouldn't know because I've never been a number one target.
And the other piece of it, I don't think he's going to be treated like a true number one. So it's not like he's going to get matched up always with the toughest quarterback on the other side. Yeah.
Exactly.
What do you think about the theory that I've been kind of tossing around where
hold on. Josh DiMaggio theory here.
I wish there was more oomph to it after I say it. But I think there's clearly going to be one leader in receiving. That's just how it's going to go. It's most likely going to be Alan Lazard. But if I were to guess, I think there's probably going to be like three guys who are all in like a bundle at the top of like basically how you alluded to, where they each have their games where they're the big guy based on matchup. Like the combination to me is like Lazard, Aaron Jones, and maybe Romeo Doubs, or put in Sammy Watkins in there. Like, doesn't that make
Watkins
the most sense?
Scares me. He terrifies me. Yeah, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are both going to be heavily featured in the pass game. I have to imagine that this Packers team is working on a whole lot of packages where you see both of those guys on the field. And even if not, you're going to get them to be real fresh, and you're going to get a lot of running back option. That's some of that motion that Aaron Rodgers was alluding to in Matt LaFleur's offense that he's not always a fan of. I get it. There's probably going to be multiple guys. I just don't know who those other guys are, and I'm confident that Alan Lazard will get it. And if you told me that Randall Cobb would be healthy for 17 games, even though he's a shadow of himself, I think he would have a very good season. I'm just not confident he's going to stay healthy for 17 games.
Yeah, but also, let's not forget, Aaron Rodgers has a knack for making tight ends look a lot better than who they really are.
Telly. Who the hell is the tight end? I've been the one guy talking about Josiah DeGuara, and he stinks. Josiah stinks.
Well, I didn't know you felt so, you had those type of feelings towards that.
I named him Josiah the Messiah DeGuara. I thought he was going to be a key member of this team by now.
It sounds a little personal over here, doesn't it?
You got both of my misses today. I mean, man, we talked about Graham Mertz. We talked about Josiah DeGuara.
Sore spots I need to be warned about here?
Anytime we nickname somebody on this show, it doesn't work out so hot.
In all fairness, though, Aaron Rodgers in the past have turned practice tight end players into not Pro Bowlers, but very effective NFL tight ends. Like Tonyan was like unstoppable at one point.
Yeah, and if Bobby Tonyan comes back and is healthy, then the back half of the season, I think that...
I mean, that's just one, but I mean, there's always a guy that you never know that it may just pop out of nowhere. I mean, no one knows who.
Have you noticed Greg calls him Bobby Tonyan and Ben does too? Because that's a thing we do on this show, and if you're not paying attention, I can imagine... Like, you're not on this show every day. Has that been weird to you, or have you just blown by it like whatever, they say it weird?
The backstory.
Thought that's just how they just named him. That's all.
The backstory is that he was Robert Tonyan, Bob Tonyan, and then one day he said, "No." After like 3 years of everybody calling him it, he said, "No, it's pronounced Tonyan." And so now instead of Bob Tonyan, I call him Bub Tonyan.
Okay, gotcha.
Bubby Tonyan. I don't even know I'm doing it half the time. I mean, Ryan Taylor's the latest guy, right, that people are talking about as the tight end, a converted quarterback in college to be a tight end in the NFL. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like,
yeah, now that I'm looking at the tight ends on this roster,
it's rough.
Yeah, the only person I see that I actually know is Mercedes Lewis, and he's 38. That's not a good thing.
No, 38 in tight end years. He's like 62,
yeah,
63.
Yeah.
Rudy from Sheboygan chimes in 800-990-3776. Says we are going to see those graphics on the broadcast that shows Rodgers' completions to something like 12 or 13 different receivers, just like the old days. I hope so.
We're going to see.
Greg in Germantown says, Lazard, 800 yards. Dobbs, 700 yards. Ooh. Cobb, 600 yards. Watson, 500 yards. That's Watson, not Watkins.
Yeah.
Tight end group, 400 yards. Running back group, 600 yards. Everyone else scraps. Greg in Germantown really breaking it down for us there. I don't think that the rookies are going to have a combined 1,200 yards. I don't want everybody to get, because I'm a Romeo Doubs believer, Telly.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you're high on our guy Romeo Doubs quite yet.
I like what he's been doing so far.
I think that's like who I want him to be in 2 or 3 years. I think if you get 400 yards out of Romeo Doubs this year and he looks the part when he's given the opportunity, I'm happy. Like, we're talking about rookie wide receivers. He's a fourth round pick.
His absolute ceiling is probably like 600 yards. Like, yeah. Absolute.
And that's like an incredible.
Yeah, and we're all thrilled.
I mean, what was St. Brown for Detroit last year as a rookie? 700 or 800 yards, and he came on towards the late. Like, that's the highest I think you could expect.
Yeah. Yeah. With receivers, and especially late-round receivers, you never know, because it may have just been one little thing that stopped them from being a second-round pick versus a fourth-round pick. And so talent-wise, it seems like Romeo Doubs has the tools, and he is starting to gain the trust of Aaron Rodgers. You hope that a lot of those things will culminate into him having a solid, productive rookie season. But with rookies, you never know. He could come out and be Ja'Marr Chase, or he can come out and be Romeo Doubs. Who knows?
I would prefer Ja'Marr Chase.
Dobbs. I mean, you just never know. But I mean, I'm total in agreement with you guys. That's a lot for a rookie. And I mean, and coming and you're playing with a Hall of Fame quarterback, like, it just doesn't mesh that quickly. I don't care who you are.
Hopefully he surprises. But again, I don't want the bar to be set at 700 yards in the mind of Packers fans, because you're just setting yourself up for disappointment.
You really are.
800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. We're talking about the wide receivers Aaron Rodgers is throwing to. Are they enough over the next 3 years? He talked about winning a title. Hear what he had to say next. It's Scalzo and Russ, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
At Scalzo and Brust, check out the Long Island Laser, courtesy of our intern who put that together. I'm not sure he's the best graphic designer.
Yeah, it's not exactly Mozart. Why are you shocked?
Because he makes music.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That Thursday here at Scalzo and Brust. The Packers kick off their preseason tomorrow night. That's right, folks. Football is here. Greg in Germantown chimes in 800-990-3776. The Old National Bank talking text line. Old National Bank, get old. Says with there now being 17 games in the NFL schedule, you'd have to average slightly more than 41 yards a game to get to 700 yards for the season. Even for a rookie, that doesn't sound like a massive stretch, especially when we don't have a go-to number one. He's talking about Romeo Doubs there. Tom in Milwaukee also chimes in, says being injured and not fully recovered for his pro day could be the Doubs discount. His 40 time was like O-line bad. Was it that bad?
I'll have to look it up.
Take a look at it. I mean,
but he played at Nevada. That's the reason why he wasn't.
He wasn't a secret, and yeah. He's not a physical freak. But he knew how to play wide receiver, and was at a small school, and he was productive. That's what's interesting is he is like the bizarro Christian Watson, because Watson, although they both played at small schools, Watson had zero college productivity, but he's just an athletic freak.
Yeah,
Doubs, very productive wide receiver. 1,000-yard receiving years in college, caught the ball a lot in Jay Norvell's offense, and not a physical freak, just a guy when you go to the measurements. I'll take the productivity every day of the week, Kelly. Right. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I just all those measurements and how many times did he bench press 225 at the combine and all that stuff doesn't matter until you put on pads and you get out on the field. That's my thing. I don't think, but I do have a question. Did Trey Lance and Christian Watson, did they play together at North Dakota State?
They did.
Okay.
But if you think about North Dakota State, last year they didn't throw the ball very often. They didn't have Trey Lance. It's a very run-heavy offense. Yeah. The year before in 2020, that COVID year, they were one of those teams. They played a single game. They played one game that season. They had a one-game season where I believe they played South Dakota State, I want to say, or a South Dakota team. So him and Trey Lance didn't have a lot of time.
Not for real, for real.
Not for real.
Okay.
So we never got to see the brilliance of Trey Lance and Christian Watson put together in a meaningful way. Trey Lance, however, has gotten a whole lot of eggs in his basket, and he really hasn't started a football game in 3 years. So
yeah,
we'll see what that looks like.
Yeah. Wow. It doesn't sound like a stretch, but he said 41 yards?
Said 41 yards a game.
Okay. That doesn't seem like a whole lot, but if you only getting 4 or 5 targets a game and a couple of them are only like for 7, 8 yards.
Well, that's at least 4 catches a game for 41 yards. I mean, yeah. That's the thing is unless you're MVS and your job is to go deep, and he, I think, led the league a few years ago with like a 17-yard or 16-yard per reception. Yeah. So you're thinking he's probably going to be in that 10 to 12-yard per reception at the high end, maybe 10.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. That's at least 4 catches a game. That's a lot.
That's a lot, yes.
I mean, Romeo Doubs is likely to have 0 reception, 0 receiving yard games. Like, that's just, like,
yeah,
I know it's only
reality.
I know it's only 40 yards per game, but like, he might have 5 games where he sees like 2 targets, 0 catches.
Romeo Doubs excited for the game tomorrow night, and I think he's hearing a lot of the excitement about him both outside of the building and inside of the building. Here's what he said about the preseason opener tomorrow night against the San Francisco 49ers.
It's a big opportunity, you know, for myself and other receivers in that room, other young guys in that nature. So it'll be exciting. I can't wait to, you know, have my first NFL game, you know, as an NFL player. So it'll be fun.
We will see what Romeo Doubs does tomorrow night, catching the ball from Jordan Love, and how much more excited or less excited Packers fans will be after seeing number 87.
Don't pull a Graham Mertz. Don't go out there and have 120 receiving yards on 4 catches. And
that would be probably, in a weird way, Telly, to your point, that would probably be a bad thing.
Right. Just go out, execute your routes, do a good job, know the plays, just be a rookie and be fine.
I think the better way to look at Romeo Doubs, and Christian Watson for that matter especially, but he's going to be starting off the season a little slower because of his injury, is what can those guys be next season and the season after that, right? If you think about having Aaron Rodgers for 3 more years.
Hopefully.
What can they be in 2023, and what can they be in 2024? The biggest jumps to the NFL happen right there, from year 1 to year 2, and from year 2 to year 3. If they can turn themselves into a formidable pair, and that room can build itself out, the Packers are going to be very well positioned with this defense, and that cheap talent in the wide receiver room, as wide receiver prices continue to rise, they're going to be well positioned to do what Aaron Rodgers wants to do. The reason why he's back in Green Bay, and he said it on the Adam Schein podcast about winning another title.
I don't say this as a cliche. I say this as heartfelt as I can. I want to win the championship. I've had all the individual success I could possibly ever have dreamed of accomplishing. I've got four MVPs. I'm an honorary black belt. I'd like to win another Super Bowl. That's most important. Everything else would be just purely icing on the cake.
And make no mistake about it, that's why he's back. And to me, the reason, one of the reasons why he's back in Green Bay is, I don't know if he'll admit it to us in the newfound, peaceful, grateful Aaron Rodgers era, but he wants to get more Super Bowls than Favre. He came into this organization, Favre was a jerk. He didn't take care of him. He replaced Favre. He's had more individual accomplishments than him. But I think, like a little brother with a big brother, you always want to be better than the big brother.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think that is as big of a revelation as many people may think, because so you're saying that to say you didn't want to win a title last year or the year before or the year before? I mean, you know that your window is closing. Your career is coming to an end. And yes, that's something that you do want under your belt before you hang up your cleats. Of course, you want to surpass Brett Favre and not just individual awards, but Super Bowls. And you want to go down as the greatest Packer quarterback in history.
Of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, it may not be about the individual awards, but it's definitely going to take a maximum effort, and so many things have to go your way when you win the Super Bowl. Like, so many things. Not just what's going on from each game to game, but the health and the development of rookies and second-year guys and so on and so forth. I mean, I believe that it is – the Packers definitely have their work cut out for them. They're a really good team, but – when you look at certain positions, you can't say that from a tight end perspective or a wide receiver perspective that they match up against some of the other top teams. And so I think just – I mean, those are just two positions, but that's not saying that all the other positions are going to play at a super high level either. I mean, it's just, like I said, everything has to come together when you make a run like that.
800-990-3776, 800-990-3776. We need caller 6, caller 9. We've got over-under coming up next. Josh DiMaggio has had an opportunity to pick a category. Don't know what that category is. And we are going to get 10 guesses in 3 minutes to pick as many correct answers in that category as possible. Here's where you come in. We need caller 6. Again, 800-990-3776. And caller 9, caller 6, Josh will give you both the category and the over-under line. You say over or under. Caller 9, you're stuck on the other side. Winner wins themselves a gift card. 800-990-3776. Over-under coming up next with Scalzo and Brust. Telly Hughes in for Brust. We're presented by Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Brust.
Go ahead, Ben.
No, look.
You try your best. You got it.
That was so mean. It's not even funny how mean that was.
Scalzo and Brust.
Josh, answer the phone.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh and Mike. Taji on the ones and twos for Grateful Dead Thursday. I'm Greg Scalzo. No Ben Bruss, Telly Hughes in his place, or Cousin Sub of the Day. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. It's Thursday. It's 5:35. It's time to play a little over-under.
Will the guys hit the over, or will they disappoint like they usually do? It's time for Over Under on Scalzo and Brust.
Here's how the game works. Josh DiMaggio has picked a category. We don't know what it is. He's picked an over-under line for the amount of correct answers we will get in 10 guesses. In 3 minutes, we don't know what the line is either. Jeff in Elkhorn was caller number 6. He believes in us. Smart move, Jeff. He says, I take the over. Mac in the short. I'm sorry, bud. You're stuck on the other side. Winner wins themselves a $50 gift card. Joshy, what do we have this week?
I'm looking for the 10 NFL wide receivers with the highest annual average salary. The over-under is 7.5.
Average annual salary.
Mm-hmm.
7.5? That's aggressive.
I had to go this way because with the annual average, because there was actually numbers that were exactly the same for some of the contracts.
So you're admitting that this is too strong because you couldn't do 6.5.
Yeah, well, whatever. Okay. You guys ready to go?
Ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Tyreek Hill is number one.
Tyreek Hill has a $30 million annual average salary.
Devontae Adams is number two.
Devontae Adams has to be. Yes.
Those I know.
Let's go.
Now it'll get a little more interesting.
No, it's not.
I mean, I know A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf just got paid.
D.K. Metcalf.
I need one of you to be a Cooper final Cup. Answer guy.
Final answer. Ooh, Cooper Kupp, good call.
You got 4 for 4 currently.
Hopkins had the highest, I know, before Devontae and Tyreek, so I'm going to say DeAndre Hopkins, final answer.
DeAndre Hopkins
two
is
2 minutes.
And A.J. Brown, Eagles.
Nice.
A.J. Brown is fifth. You guys have knocked off the top 6 in order.
Okay. Diggs got paid this year, but I have no idea how much. I have to imagine he's close to the top.
Is Michael Thomas up there?
I don't know, though. I don't know. Has he got paid?
He got $100 million a couple seasons ago, but he's probably fallen down by now. So, no
Debo
Michael
got
Thomas.
Paid. We haven't said Debo yet, right?
Yeah, we haven't said Debo.
And I felt like he was right in that A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf camp, so I'm going to say Debo Samuel, final answer.
Debo Samuel is 8th on the list.
Diggs would be my next guess, because I know he got paid this offseason.
Yes,
Diggs. Diggs, final answer.
Yeah, well, that's it.
There we go.
Boom.
Congratulations, Jeff at Elkhorn. Is Elkhorn closer to Madison or Milwaukee?
Elkhorn is Milwaukee.
Oh, that's right.
It's not going to be far from where it'll be this weekend.
Congratulations, Jeff. You won a $50 gift card to Mars Cheese Castle. Gotta love the Cheese Castle. Who else do we have on the list?
Do you have?
We grabbed 8.
These are a little difficult. The 9 is Terry McLaurin.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
I believe he also got paid this offseason.
He just
I think
got
he
paid,
did, yes. Yep.
And then DJ Moore.
Ooh.
Who does DJ Moore pay for?
He's a Panther.
Yeah, I knew that.
He's good. Yeah. I would never thought he was.
I thought the only person they paid was McCaffrey. Yeah.
He got paid so much there was not enough money to go around anywhere else. Meanwhile, the Packers, as much as we criticize the talent, they're probably paying the least amount in the league or close to it in terms of wide receiver group. Yeah.
It would be hard to have a lower amount. Maybe the Bears. I know the Lions have a big number there because they signed both those guys from the Jags, or one of the guys from the Jags. Yeah. It has to be the Packers. DJ Chark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
DJ Chark, of course.
So, I mean, between the Packers and probably Jags, the Jaguars aren't paying anybody.
They paid Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
Oh, they did. I forgot about that.
Isn't he making like 19 or 20 million a year?
It was like 18.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Wait, they just grabbed Arizona's third wide receiver and paid him like a number one. So we'll see what.
Well, they got Hollywood Brown, and then Hopkins is serving what, a 6 or 8 game suspension.
6 game suspension for PEDs, which is always, which is hard to remember because when you think wide receiver and when you think athletic stud like DeAndre Hopkins, you don't necessarily think PEDs.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it, and it's so funny because the same team when Patrick Patterson. He got busted for PEDs, and his career really hasn't been the same since.
Got to take a look at that training staff down there, maybe.
The Packers are 25th, actually. They are one behind the Lions with 17. Packers are paying $18.3 million. Detroit, 17.8. And then Dallas, Cleveland, Chicago, Atlanta, Indianapolis, Baltimore.
That makes sense.
Dallas?
Dallas
they don't have Amari Cooper
All they
anymore.
Have is CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, they just only have CeeDee Lamb, and he hasn't gotten paid yet.
I guess.
That actually makes
a
lot of sense.
And it's Cedric Wilson and Jalen Tolbert.
Somebody's done too many fantasy drafts already this year. Josh is in week 7 right now of fantasy football.
But also with Cleveland, they don't have Landry anymore.
They don't have Odell.
And they don't have Odell. I don't know who do they have.
Who, Cleveland?
Yeah. You haven't drafted them in one of your 15 leagues?
No, that's a stay-away team, Telly. Everyone knows that this year.
Don't know who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
He is Telly Hughes. He's in for Ben Brost. I'm Greg Scalzo. This is Scalzo and Brost. We're presented by Bud Light, America's favorite light lager since 1982. Light, crisp, and refreshing, an ice-cold Bud Light is waiting for you. Brewed with 4 simple ingredients, barley, rice, hops, water, for the highest quality of taste. That's where you get that light, clean, crisp taste. Only those 4 ingredients for those who live on the light side of life. Make it a Bud Light. Pick up Bud Light during your next visit to Woodman's, Total Wine, Festival, Walmart, Quick Trip, and Pick and Save. Of course, always enjoy responsibly. We love Bud Light. You love Bud Light. Everybody loves Bud Light. It's why it's the world's best-selling beer. We're going to have a lot of Bud Lights this weekend, Joshy. A lot of Bud Lights this weekend. So I'm very much looking forward to that. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk about this Green Bay Packers team, the wide receiver position, plus maybe get into a little Hard Knocks talk. It is Scalzo and Brost presented by the greatest beer ever, Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brost.
Are we done?
Yes.
Yep. Moving on.
Aaron Rodgers did talk earlier today. Oh, John!
Come on now!
Come on,
you hound dog, you.
Grind on time. All right. What do we? Come on.
You ain't ever going to have it. Ain't no friend of mine. I'm good.
Go.
No,
like,
I'm
I want to hear it full.
No, I only know that part.
Scalzo and Brust.
Grind
all the time.
Nothing but a hound dog.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in and keep trucking.
And a Grateful Dead Thursday across ESPN Wisconsin. He is Telly Hughes. I'm Greg Scalzo. You, the Scalzo and Brust family, calling us, texting us, 800-990-3776. That the Old National Bank talk and text on Old National Bank. Get old. A lot of conversation about this Packers team. We'll see what some of the weapons look like tomorrow as they kick off their preseason San Francisco. A lot of conversation around the weapons, including our conversations, and yet my biggest concern remains that offensive line. So we'll see exactly what that looks like tomorrow in San Francisco. But NFL football is here. Preseason football starts now. Hard Knocks is in full force right now, covering the Detroit Lions, which is always going to be a funny, interesting concept to me to think about these cameramen inside of these motivational speeches going on and putting their cameras inside of a huddle. And I still always wonder, like, how authentic is this really? Because no matter how much you try to pretend a camera's not there, you know when a camera's around.
Yeah, you do, but I think they have a very charismatic coach in Dan Campbell, and he just doesn't seem like a guy that can kind of turn it off and turn it on. He's balls to the wall, seems like, all the time. So even though they are the Detroit Lions and the Detroit Lions are the Detroit Lions, it actually might be pretty decent.
Oh, it's great. I watched the first episode.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Oh, okay. So it's already
it's
out.
It's gone.
Oh, okay,
the first episode's
on. Okay.
It's entertaining. I would recommend it. And I'm not somebody who's been into Hard Knocks lately, but I do think that this is a season worth watching because that's a bad team with a fun coach and a bunch of guys who are just playing into it. And it feels sort of it's nostalgic as well for those of us who are maybe in our in our 30s or 40s, because a lot of their coaches were guys that we grew up watching. Deuce Staley is the offensive coordinator. Aaron Glenn is the defensive coordinator. Mark Brunell is the quarterback's coach. Like, it is a who's who of NFL players there.
Wow.
And they all talk smack like they are still on the field to each other. Deuce Staley and Aaron Glenn going at each other is good, good television. This is what Dan Campbell sounded like when he was on Hard Knocks.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of cuts like that. And former Packer Jamal Williams is also kind of a star of the show. Here he is giving the emotional speech, of course, at practice.
Well, let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. When you're tired, think of last year and think of that f***ing record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f***ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Do your best. Let's go. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions.
That, Jamal Williams, the former Green Bay Packer in Hard Knocks. And it makes me think, like, it would never happen because out of all the Wisconsin teams, all of them have a similar sort of, or at least I think relatable culture. The Packers are a very conservative organization that would never want cameras around inside.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, what's funny about that, he said, that's not us. Who was it then? who was putting on those Lions uniforms going out losing those games?
You've never been a part of a team where you know you're better than your record? The difference is they
usually
better
your
than the record
is it's who you are.
Yeah, that's true.
At the end of the day, like, as much as, like, maybe a game or two, you're like, maybe we could have won that, or we felt like we got hosed on a couple of calls. But when you only win three games, like, you were only supposed to win three games, and you may not, you probably wasn't supposed to win those three.
Yeah, but I would say, like, what else is he supposed to say? How do you motivate a bad team?
Hey, look, guys, let's just do our best, man.
We're all getting paid.
Right, we're getting paid.
Yeah, just tell when payday is during training camp.
Right.
But out of all the Wisconsin sports teams, none of them will be inviting to it. Who would be interesting? Because as much as I think, like, oh, the Bucks are kind of the team that seems to be fun, they're not that fun of a team. Like, all their superstars, Giannis and Chris and Drew, to their credit, I mean this as a compliment, are boring guys. Like, they go to work. I remember that championship parade was a fun parade for the city, but you didn't think, oh, we're going to get a J.R. Smith moment where somebody's got their shirt off, and the two guys that you counted on to be the most fun in the city were Bobby Portis and P.J. Tucker, and P.J. Tucker's not a Milwaukee Buck anymore. Like, outside of Bobby Portis, who on that team would really be interesting in a Hard Knocks scenario?
None of them.
The Brewers Rowdy Tellez, you got a little personality there. Brent Suter, but like, how fun, wild, interesting is that baseball team going to be?
And see, a lot of times it's just, I mean, guys have personalities. They just don't like to show it. And they definitely aren't going to show it when a bunch of cameras are around. It's just not going to happen. And I just don't, like, yeah, because you're always going to have a Jamal Williams on every team. You're going to have one that you're going to end up centering everything around because you know they have the most personality. They're going to say the most on camera. Out of the teams in Wisconsin, I would think you would get more from a college team. I think you would get more from the Badgers football team or Marquette's basketball team or something like that. There's just not a lot of guys that have that type of personality, big personality.
I think that Badger football team would be a sneaky great Hard Knocks because I think Paul Christ is one of those guys where unless you know him or have seen him not in front of a real microphone,
exactly,
he is entertaining as hell.
Yeah, he's a funny dude. He is a funny, funny guy. And I just think with football, you do have a lot of guys that may just be, you know, a little off. Well, you got to be a little off to play football.
I think the number one star of any Hard Knocks, regardless of sport, is probably Jair. Just the way I've seen him act, even just like he is Jair Alexander all the time. That's just his personality, and I think he would probably be the favorite of the camera crew.
I mean, it would be Aaron. Couldn't you see Aaron smoking a cigar at his patio with a little whiskey or tequila or scotch or something?
Randall Cobb comes over.
Comes over and, you know, Rogers is just, you know, pontificating about life and the universe and stars. And
Jordy will come over. Jordy Nelson will come to town and D-Bock will be over there.
The Packers will be a fun one, too.
They would be.
D-Bock is a personality. Rogers is personality. Like, they would sneaky be fun. I like your Jair call out. Yeah. Rashawn Gary, he's an intense dude.
And especially now in Aaron Rodgers' career and the way he's free and at peace. And I think it would be extremely interesting. But like you said, that would never happen.
Who would be the camera that liked the camera, the Packer that liked the camera too much?
Ooh, I mean, it might be my guy, Aaron. No, actually, I take that back.
Sneaky think it might be A.J. Dillon.
I was just thinking that.
A.J. Dillon likes some good publicity.
I go D-Bock. I think D-Bock would be D-Bock all the time.
Yeah, but, I mean, after he chugged a couple of beers and, you know, did a few crazy things, I don't think that would be the norm for him. Yeah. I think Dillon would find a way to get in front of that camera more often than he should.
Telly, we'll see you again tomorrow on Scalzo and Bruss. We got Spade and Fitz coming up next across ESPN Wisconsin.